This isn't the first time I've followed that that act. It's a tough act to follow, so I thought I'd do likewise. Because I figure that's adjusted about right, isn't it?
No, not really.
No, we are blessed to have kids as part of our church community, and it's a treat to have them all here on stage and get to enjoy them and what they bring. And so on my way up here, Nancy offered me condolences. But Heather emphasized short. I heard her say that. So, yes, just a short message today. What we're going to do is just explore a little more about these wise men. You know, the kids reenacted the coming of these wise men to look for this new king. And there's not much in the Bible about those fellas. It's a little short on details. But I want to just ask a couple questions. First of all, who were they? Why did they come? How did they know about this? What's the story? A little bit. And so we're going to just take a look at a few passages and what we can know about these men and speculate a little bit as well. So let's just pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for children. Thank you for the joy of seeing them celebrate this Christmas season. And I just am appreciating that, and we are glad. And help us to see beyond the traditions, see beyond the things we do every year to the message and the significance of this event that we celebrate, your arrival. So we ask this in your name. Amen. So who were these? It doesn't say there were three. I might say three once in a while because it's so well ingrained in all of us, right? The three wise men. Everywhere you look, it's three. But in Matthew 2, that the first line of kids recited, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, that was Herod the great, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Wise men, that word is magi. Magi. They were, it's where we get the word magicians, but they were soothsayers, they were astronomers, maybe astrologers, they were the intellectuals of their day, they were the scientists of their day. They interpreted signs in the heavens. And if you look back in the book of Daniel, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and the Israelites had been taken to Babylon in captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that bothered him. Who did he call? He called the magi. He called the scientists, the intellects, the astrologers, astronomers of their day to interpret his dreams. And so these men were the best and the brightest. Where did they come from? Came from the east, most likely the area of Babylon. It's what would be in northern Iraq now, Persia. And they came some distance. I think the kings here told us that they came for months, and it's probably true. It was at least about a three-month trip. So they came a distance, hundreds of miles. Well, the question, I wonder, how did they know? They weren't Jewish. They were Babylonians or Persians. How did they know about this newborn king, this new king that was coming? Well, at about 500 years earlier, Babylon had conquered Israel and had taken away the best and the brightest of Israel to Babylon. That was Daniel. He was one of those captives that got taken back to Babylon. And most likely they had the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures written at that time, still existing. And these men most likely had studied those scriptures. had studied the prophecies about a king that would come. In Numbers 24, there's a passage. It says, I see him, but not now. Behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. So there was a king, a coming king, a ruler, an authority, a strong conqueror that was predicted and to be shown by a star. And so these men apparently had been studying these scriptures and watching the skies. It's amazing what the ancients knew about the about the solar system, about the heavens. There was an article recently about what a 7-year-old should know about the moon, I think it was, and I read it and I didn't know most of it. But these ancients, they had watched the stars year after year, and they could predict. They knew what would appear when and where. And these saw a star arise. Excuse me. got a tickle. Could somebody grab? I left a glass of water in the back corner there. Just a pause here. That could be quite as short. Thanks, Gene. All right. So why did they come? How did they know about it? Speculation, but why did they come? Did they come to pacify a conquering king? Did they come to get in good standing with this king early on? I think, and this is my speculation, I think that partly God directed them and in his sovereignty wanted to confirm for Mary and Joseph that this boy of theirs, this new baby, was indeed extraordinary, was indeed from God. Because not every king gets announced by rising stars. Not every king gets proclaimed by some change in the heavens. But he was. And I believe these magi from afar came to confirm for Mary and Joseph that this indeed was from God. So what did they find when they arrived? Not sure what they were expecting. What did they find? Well, they went to Jerusalem, the capital. That's a good place to start looking for a king. They went to the capital and started asking around, where's this newborn king? And it's caused a stir. It troubled the people of Jerusalem, and particularly it troubled Herod. Herod was this was Herod the Great. He was put in place. He was the king of Judea, put in place by Rome. And he was quite a leader. He did huge construction projects, a palace on the Mediterranean, Masada, fortresses throughout the country. And he had been good to the Jews. He was Jewish, but really only in name. He was not born a Jew, but in name only. But he was quite a leader, but he was also ruthless. He was ruthless, and many say paranoid of any threats to his power. He killed his first wife because he thought she was disloyal. And two of his sons he killed because he was threatened by them. So he was a ruthless king. He would protect his power at all costs. So what did they find? They found a king that wasn't expecting a new one. And when they went on, they found a baby in humble circumstances, in the arms of a teenage mother and a carpenter father. Wasn't in a palace, wasn't royal, wasn't a prominent family. Humble circumstances. And it's easy to think that when they saw this, I can't help but think they might have looked at each other and said, "Hey, fellas, I think maybe we made a wrong turn. This does not look like a kingly kid. This is just an ordinary baby. Just an ordinary baby." And so they had two responses. They had a different response than Herod. What was Herod's response? Herod's response was to defend his earthly reign. No worship, no humility, but treachery. If you read on, there was great treachery. He was out to destroy this king, if he could find him. What was the Magi's response? They fell down and they worshiped. They fell down and worshiped. This is probably the most surprising part of this story, that they would worship this foreign king. They would fall down. Come hundreds of miles, they delivered gifts to a humble little family. It's amazing. They were given the privilege to welcome God's Messiah from hundreds of miles away. They were given that privilege. They recognized a king who was from out of this world. Jesus was not an ordinary king. 30-some-odd years later, Jesus was before another ruler. He was before the governor Pilate when he was being tried. And Pilate asked him that question, "Are you king of the Jews?" This is who the Magi went looking for, this new king of the Jews. And Pilate asked him, "Is this who you are?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He wasn't a worldly king. He was a kingdom, the kingdom of God. The birth and life of Jesus turned things upside down. He's unexpected. His birth was unexpected. His birth was not what these wise men, these Magi, were expecting. They were expecting a kingly. He was born in humility. He was raised in obscurity. Disciples were ordinary men. They were of no count. And he was destined, as the trajectory of his life played out, he was destined to be apparently defeated by the authorities and the power of his day. In 1 Corinthians 1, it says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." God chose the weak to shame the strong. Jesus came in humility, in weakness. Herod met him with authority and power. But God shamed the weak, shamed the strong by his weakness. We often want to be impressed. We want to be impressed. We want to be convinced by wisdom or authority. The wise men might have gotten there and seen Jesus and thought, "Well, this isn't what we expected." And look for a sign. Show us something. Prove to us that you're this special baby, this kingly baby. They didn't do that. They took God at his word, and they believed and worshiped. Jesus' coming confounds our desire for power and wisdom. It says, going on in that verse in 1 Corinthians, says, "God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing to things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." There's no wisdom. There's no flashiness. It's simple. Humble beginning. Humble beginning. That we might not boast. So at this time of year, we remember Emmanuel. Jesus Emmanuel. God with us, it means. God with us. He didn't arrive in power and strength, but in weakness and humility. And may we be like the Magi that would humbly receive what God has done. Humbly receive this king who was not of this world. He's a king of God's king of God's kingdom. The Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, has great lyrics. And one verse I'll just read in closing. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So we may we worship that humble baby today as we celebrate this Christmas season. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you that you came in humility. You entered into this world. You came and became one of us, not something that might overcome then, but came in humility and laid down your life. But God, we look forward to the day when you do come in power and authority. Look forward to the day when you make all things right. We look forward to when you come as king and recognized by all the world. God, I pray that we would enjoy this season reflecting on your simple entry in such a profound change you've made, profound difference you've made in this world and in our lives. We thank you. We thank you. In your name, Jesus, amen.